Well, we were all stunned yesterday around lunchtime when the news came down of the passing of Coach Joe Avezzano. He was working out in Milan, Italy, running on the treadmill, and at age 68, he suffered a heart attack. Attempts to revive him were unsuccessful, and Coach Joe is gone. And I was really bothered by this all day long because in our time on the ticket, and we're in our 19th year now doing this show, we have talked about and lived through a lot of very famous sports celebrity deaths here in the Metroplex. Tom Landry has passed away, and Byron Nelson has passed away, and Dandy Don Meredith has passed away. But we weren't really close with those people. Johnny Oates passed away, and Norm was very close with Johnny Oates, and so that was... that kind of started to get into our realm. But Coach Joe is the first guy that I can come up with that has left us, who was such a part of the ticket and ticket history, and we knew so well, and he had a show here on the ticket, and we talked to him all the time, and it really hit me as that, wow, this, I don't think we've ever been through anything like this.
No, and it just stunned me. He was such a large personality. He's just... one of those guys you just figured, you know, is always going to be there. Oh, it's just Coach Joe. He's off the coach in Italy now. Okay, that's what he's doing. And
worked out a lot. I mean, yeah. He seemed to keep himself in shape.
No, he looked great. Last time I saw him in December, was at his place at Hat Tricks in Louisville at an event, and he looked great and talked for a long time. And, yeah, he has so many ties to the ticket doing the show here. The Coach Joe show was here on the ticket. The time that we carry the Dallas Desperados games, those were some of the best times I ever had in radio, doing those Desperados games. And part of it was Joe. We would have him mic'd up for every game, and he was hilarious. We couldn't air all of it. We'd have to tape delay it and then air some of it during the game. But he was new to the game. We were new to the game. And, Gordo, it's amazing. Every trip that we took with the Desperados, somehow we'd end up either at a restaurant or the hotel bar or something like that, and Joe would be there drinking his glass of wine. And when the ticket guys would walk up, at some point, the conversation would always go back to the fake Coach Joe and you doing the impersonation of him the first time he saw it and how funny he thought it was with your big-ass Super Bowl rings and all that stuff.
I really had a soft spot for this guy because he was, in the very early days of the ticket, he was one of the few... you know, people really didn't know how to take me in the early days. You think people don't know how to take me now?
Yeah, you were really unfiltered back then.
And I was, I walked that razor's edge, that fine line back then, and, you know, there wasn't a real traditional spot for me on sports radio. And so a lot of these sports guys that we would bring in, they really looked askew at me. Askance? Askew? Mm-hmm. Joe was very different. There were two guys I remember from the very early days of the ticket who really kind of befriended me and paid me a lot of compliments, even off the air, like, man, I think what you do is really funny or interesting or whatever. And they were Mike Modano and Joe Avezzano. And I was really worried about Joe Avezzano liking me because I started doing this fake Coach Joe. And it was the first time I'd really ever imitated. I think this was before I imitated anybody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first impersonation I did on the ticket was Joe.
And you used to do it right in front of him with the old cowboy double star jacket.
Well, the thing, at first, I didn't do it in front of him. I did it behind his back because I was scared that he would punch me. And then finally, when we had him on, I'd done it for maybe a month or so. And then we had him out doing the evening show that we did. And I dressed up as him. I put on the jacket and I put on this ridiculous white fright wig. Because he had the long flowing mane, and I made this fake Super Bowl ring because he would always wear what I termed his big ass Super Bowl rings.
Out of aluminum foil?
Yes, made out of aluminum foil. They were ridiculous. And I did the Coach Joe impersonation in front of him, and it was a real kind of little watershed moment of the ticket. The first time we had done something publicly that we had done in giggly form, owned up to in front of him. And he died laughing, and he loved it, and he was very gracious about it. And that won a lot of point. I mean, that was just amazing that the guy had such a good sense of humor that he would allow this
ridiculous Coach Joe impersonation. talk about his big-ass Super Bowl rings and, of course, Mickey Spagnola.
And that was a mainstay on the early days of the ticket, the fake Coach Joe. He was a great guy to be around.
You know, and I talked to Mickey yesterday, and they were attached at the hip, he and Coach Joe. And yesterday, you know, it was very disturbing to all of us. It was really a tough day for Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
They were really good friends. They were really close and spent so much time together in so many different radio stations and settings and television shows. And, I mean, they were just attached at the hip, those two.
I swear, they hit every medium.
Print,
I think one time I saw them doing a Punch and Judy show at North Park Mall together.
But, you know, I also heard from some other people yesterday. Our friend Doug with Special Olympics, he called me and said, you know, if you talk about Coach Joe tomorrow, make sure you mention what he meant to us at Special Olympics. Mm-hmm. He was one of their biggest leaders. In fact, Doug had just talked to Joe just a couple of weeks ago from Italy about an event that was coming up. And here's Joe over across the world, but he was checking in with his friends at Special Olympics, making sure that he was going to be where they needed him to be here in just a couple of weeks. And he donated his time and helped raise thousands, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for Special Olympics. And as you know, Doug said, there are thousands of Special Olympic athletes who have a really soft spot in their heart for Joe Avezzano.
A lot of the guys from the early 90s Cowboys spoke yesterday, from Jimmy Johnson to Troy Aikman. They were all, of course, shocked and saddened. He was such a big part of that team. You know, he was the Special Teams Coach of the Year in the NFL in 1991, and everybody loved Coach Joe. You know, Jimmy was the head coach, and he was the guy that everybody feared, but Coach Joe was the assistant that everybody joked around with and drank a beer with and went out to the country bars with and went for jogs with. And at training camp, he was always the most accessible of all the assistant coaches to not only the players but the media. In a weird way, you know, while Jimmy was the brainchild of that, and Jerry oversaw it, and Irvin was the heart and soul of the team, and Troy was the leader and all of that, in a lot of ways, Joe was kind of the glue, in that everybody, he was the constant. He was always going to be in a good mood. He was going to yell his head off on the field.
Got more FaceTime than any other assistant coach.
Got tons of FaceTime,
because it was
though.
Great TV, you know, that crazy hair flying around as he's yelling at someone, and yeah, his results were great, and I remember Sports Illustrated did a deal. It's so out of control in Dallas, even the special teams coach has a show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how could Coach Joe not have a show?
Thank you for that, good George.
He needed to have a show, an outlet, to show, you know, maybe the greatest personality in the organization. As we were saying earlier, he's probably the most famous Cowboys assistant coach ever.
Yes.
There were others who went on to coaching greatness as a head coach. We won't focus on Joe's head coaching record at the collegiate level this morning, but
He used to tell stories about when he was the head coach at Oregon State, and in general, his tenure did not go well there, but he would always talk about it. He did two things there, though, that he would always talk about. In 1981, they had a come-from-behind win over Fresno State. They ended up winning 31-28, and it was, at the time, the biggest come-from-behind win in college history.
Wow.
So he had that pinnacle, but he also had the bottom of the barrel. He is involved in the last scoreless tie in college football history.
Oh, that's really? Right.
It was the last game of the 83 season. He was the head coach at Oregon State, and they tied their rival Oregon 0-0.
But yeah, and look at the other Cowboy coaches who went on to become head coaches. But has anyone been more known as being a Cowboy assistant coach than Joe Avezzano?
No.
I didn't realize he had coached there 18 years, the Cowboys. Was mm-hmm. it 1990 to 2008?
No, it was to 2002. But
2002.
Then he went to the Desperados, which was still under the Cowboys.
That's
umbrella.
Right, the umbrella.
And then the Raiders after that. And, yeah, he was great on those Desperado games. And another area where he made a huge impact was music. I mean, he had his own band there for a while, but he loved music so much. And it was amazing yesterday on Twitter, all of the Texas music artists, they were affected by Coach Joe because he helped their careers. Here was a well-known sports personality who would put out names like Randy Rogers, Wade Bowen, Casey Donahue, and Stoney LaRue, who was, I think, Coach Joe's personal favorite. And they were, you know, all over Twitter yesterday saying, man, we owe him so much because of what he has meant to the Texas music business, not only with his venue, but just how much he promoted it. And, man, he loved music.
Oh yeah, that was. I think that was his first.
I think it was too. I think he loved music more than he did football.
That's what Barry Switzer said yesterday. You know, he and Joe were close, and he said Joe never really wanted to be a head football coach or a football coach in general. He would have much rather have been a country music star. He was happiest when he was a pickin' and a grinning.
Yeah, that's right.
Who was it that told us the story of Joe trying to bring back the look of the cape? Do you remember this story?
It was Larry Lacewell told us that, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because all those guys went way back together. And
then when he would get dressed up, he'd wear a cape.
He would try to... He said Larry Lacewell said he saw Joe walking across campus wearing a cape and one of those walking canes. That Joe was bringing that look back for a while.
And not as a joke? He was seriously trying to bring the cape back?
No, dressed like a vampire.
He thought it would bring back that look. Well, it's got to be really tough for his immediate family to carry on. His wife, Diane, sweet, sweet woman, and his son, Tony. I've known him for a long time. My tie-in there, he was a great basketball player at Coppell, and the first year of the ticket, when my oldest son was in kindergarten, they started this great program where high school kids would come read to the kindergarten kids, and it was the basketball players, and Tony Avezzano was my son's basketball buddy.
Wow.
And you know, I've known him forever. Now Tony is running hat tricks, and he and Joe work together, and I don't know if I've ever seen a father's son that's been closer than those two. And Tony has to pick up those pieces, and just the shock of it all. And certainly, you know, thoughts go out to him this morning, knowing him since he was a kid, and now dealing with the sudden death of his dad. But he did text me this morning and said that he's been so amazed by the outreach of people and just what we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes, how many different people in how many different settings that Joe affected.
The only thing that comforted me yesterday was the fact that he passed away in the motherland in
Never
Italy.
Been there before, you know, until he went this last time.
I thought about that. 68 seems really young to go, but I guess, you know, that's a pretty long life. And it wasn't a whole lot of long suffering. It wasn't battling cancer for 10, right. You know, 5 years or something, and staying in a hospital bed doped up the whole time on a treadmill in Milan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the last conversation I had with him was at the fundraiser at Hat Tricks, and I talked to Joe for probably 30 minutes or so. It was one of the best conversations we ever had. Talked about music, of course, for most of it. And Charlie Pride was there that night, and Joe was real thrilled with him being there, and, you know, just an old country western legend like Charlie Pride being there. But Joe had told me just how excited he was about going to Italy. Because what I'm saying, I think it's the first time he'd ever been, despite the fact that his family had such a rich tradition there, and he was going to get the chance to coach football, but basically experience Italy. So, I think there was some comfort in that.
So Hat Tricks is a hockey bar, hockey-themed bar?
No, it's just a place in Louisville that has great live music. And one of the reasons it has great live music is the relationship that Joe and Tony have with so many Texas musicians.
Well, Coach Joe is a big ticket listener, ticket fan, and friend of everyone up here. It's only fitting to give him the sign-off.
Stay hard, Coach Joe!
All right, 8:32 on Sports Radio 13.